Healthy Alternatives. Both research and real-life experiences are making it clear every day that our traditional medical system and practices need to be rethought, revised, and recharged in light of a more holistic approach to health. Dr. Jerry V. Teplitz, host of Healthy Alternatives, has been a pioneer for 36 years in stress management and optimum health. With a Ph.D. in holistic health sciences, a law degree, and as the author of 8 books, all focused on health, stress management, and performance, Dr. Teplitz is uniquely qualified to help us explore and incorporate healthy alternatives into our daily lives. He is a professional speaker and has shared his wisdom with over 1 million people. Join him to reach your highest level of health and wellness. Now, here's Dr. Teplitz.
Welcome to Healthy Alternatives. I'm Dr. Jerry Teplitz, and you're listening to WebTalkRadio.net. What Healthy Alternatives is about is most of us really want to reach optimum levels of health and wellness. We want to feel better, live longer, and enjoy life even more, and that's what I attempt to bring you on each of the Healthy Alternative shows. My guest I'm going to be talking to in a few minutes is Sean Seipler. Sean is the CEO of Clean the World. It's a 501c3 organization that came about with a co-founder that Sean had of taking soap out of the hotels that's been used, the amenities in the rooms like shampoos and conditioners, and sending them to people in need around the world. We're going to talk about the impact that it's having and how you even can assist in that process. Every week, I like to begin the show by talking about an issue or concern you should know about because it can have a real impact on you. This week, I want to talk about research that has found the artificial sweetener sucralose, which is marketed as Splenda, is actually a widespread contaminant in wastewater, surface water, and groundwater. Water samples from 19 U.S. drinking water treatment plants serving more than 28 million people were analyzed for Splenda. And the sweetener was found present in 15 out of 19 drinking water treatment plants tested, in the finished water of 13 out of 17 treatment plants, and in 8 out of 12 distribution systems. What this means is with the processing that water goes through, the chloramines that are added, that they don't touch the sucralose. They don't change it into something other than what it is, which means it can have an impact on us. Because 3 years ago, an animal study published in the Journal of Toxicology and Environmental Health found that Splenda reduced the amount of good bacteria in an animal's intestines by 50%. It contributed to increases in body weight, and it even interfered with the absorption of chemotherapy chemicals, chemicals for heart disease, AIDS treatment, and it's also even absorbed by fat cells. Splenda can actually destroy up to 50% of your healthy intestinal bacteria. Now, when Splenda was approved by the FDA, it was based on just 2 human trials, and it was a total of 36 human subjects. And the longest running trial of those 2 was 4 days. And it looked at Splenda's relationship to tooth decay, not human tolerance, human effect. And on determining the absorption of Splenda in the human body, 8 men were studied. What's going on is Splenda may start as a sugar, except when it's manufactured, it becomes a chlorinated artificial sweetener by adding chlorine molecules to the sugar. It's actually got a chemical composition closer to DDT and Agent Orange. Now, one of the hypes on Splenda is that it's not absorbed by the body. Well, it actually turns out that between 11 and 27% of it is absorbed in your body, and then it's absorbed into fat cells. We need to be staying away from these kinds of things because they have a real impact on us, and we can be spreading that impact to others because it winds up in our drinking water. If you want to know more about me, Dr. Jerry Teplitz, you can go to teplitz.com, and you can follow me on Twitter and Facebook. I do a monthly e-newsletter that's free called the Teplitz Report. You can sign up for that. It's health, nutrition, wellness oriented at teplitz.com, teplitz.com. And you'll see on the navigation at the top the About Home button. Just click there and you can sign up. Every week, I also like to talk to you about a healthy breakthrough. It's the newest discoveries, the latest information about healthy alternatives you can use for your family, friends, loved ones. What I want to talk about is communication. Communication experts tell us that the right words, spoken in the right way, can work wonders even in a testy situation. Well, there are some ways of actually increasing your effectiveness that neuroscientists have been figuring out, and that we can then retrain ourselves to speak and listen in ways that stimulate sympathy and trust in the other person's brain in a matter of seconds. Let me give you some of the tips that they've talked about. So, when conversations are challenging, the person who remains calm will actually benefit the most. That's because stress generates irritability. Irritability leads to anger, and anger shuts down your ability to get your point across. Brain scan studies have shown that just doing breathing to a slow count of five, stretching your neck, faking a few yawns can change your brain in ways that measurably improve your communication skills. The researchers have also found negative thoughts you harbor can interfere with the parts of your brain actually involved in language processing, listening, and speech. When you say statements to somebody like, you let me down, I don't like your tone, or eye rolls, you can actually generate a fight or flight response in the other person's brain. So every negative feeling you hold about yourself, the other person, or the topic at hand, what the researchers suggest is you conjure up five positive ones. Now, smiles can do a lot of things, and one of the things it does is it actually boosts chemicals in the brain and creates a subtle, inviting facial expression that conveys kindness, compassion, and interest. When somebody else sees this, it stimulates feelings of trust in their brain, and then you kind of go back and forth. It's called neuroresonance, and you deepen both of yours sense of satisfaction. Now, eye contact actually stimulates social network circuits in your brain, and it decreases the stress hormone cortisol, but it increases oxytocin, or hormone that enhances sympathy. So looking deeply into somebody's eyes can really let you see into their soul. Now, giving a compliment to somebody may actually engender cooperation and trust. Complaints make somebody immediately defensive, and they really get you what you want. So begin each conversation with a sincere compliment, and end with a phrase that conveys a deep appreciation for the other person. Research shows that remarks at the end are especially effective because they linger in the other person's mind. When you're talking to somebody, be brief. Speak a sentence or two, then take a little pause, and it shows that our mind is actually able to process the information better and easier. When you do have conversations with somebody that are important and are potentially difficult, you want to speak more slowly, and you also want to drop the pitch of your voice, because the listener will hear and respond with greater trust. Oncologists are using this when they have to present bad news to patients. They're seen as much more supportive and caring and sympathetic. So these are all ways that you can help your communication effectiveness. Give them a whirl, watch your brain fire in the most appropriate ways. Before I introduce my guest, Sean Seipler, I'd like to talk to you about my book, Brain Gym for Business. The part I just talked about, how your negative is perceived when it's in the mind and not, well, you may have parts of the job that you don't like to do, have difficulty with it, avoid doing. Well, you're actually sending out negative signals on that. What can you do? You can rewire your brain in minutes using brain gym movement exercises, and that's what Brain Gym for Business does. It breaks down all the positions in an organization by the tasks you do. And next to each task are 3, 4, 5 brain gyms to do to create this new neuron circuitry in the brain that is positively wired. To get that book, you can go to teplitz.com. You'll see the products button at the navigation at the top. You get a drop down, go into books, you'll be able to order it there, or you can order it on amazon.com.
My guest today is Sean Seipler. He's CEO, executive director, and actually co-founder of an organization called cleantheworld.org. He's a social entrepreneur, and he's committed to focusing his business management leadership skills on advancing humanitarian causes through philanthropic efforts. His passion for excellence and the embrace of corporate social responsibility led to the creation of Clean the World. Clean the World is an Orlando-based organization. It recycles soap bottles and soap amenities and from hotels and for people who have needs. In just 3 years, they've enlisted more than 1,200 hotel partners, and they're doing a really environmentally friendly soap recycling program that really helps other people. They're headquartered in downtown Orlando, and he was just selected in 2011 as the 40 Under 40 People to Watch by Connect Magazine. So, Sean, welcome to Healthy Alternatives.
Thank you, Jerry. Appreciate you having me on.
So, how did you decide to focus in on helping the world, literally by cleaning it?
Well, at the end of 2008, I was a very frequent business traveler. I was a vice president for a global e-commerce company and found myself in hotel rooms about 4 nights a week. And literally on one of those trips, I was actually in Minneapolis, I remember looking at the bar of soap that I was given by the hotel and wondering what happened to that bar of soap when I was done with it. That intrigue led to realizing that hotels actually throw that soap away. With 4.6 million hotel rooms in the United States, I calculated about 1 million bars of soap were being thrown away every single day in North America. I took that interesting fact to our co-founder and my business partner, Paul Till, and through research, we found that the number one and number two killers of children worldwide, which are pneumonia and diarrheal disease respectively, can be prevented by up to 60% with the use of bar soap. So putting together that tragedy with the opportunity that there's 1 million bars of soap being thrown away every day in the United States, we put that together and created a social enterprise, a social mission dedicated to eradicating the number one and number two killers of children through simply collecting, recycling, and redistributing the partially used hotel soaps and bottled amenities.
So when you say recycling, you're kind of, because there could be all kinds of stuff on it from a prior person. So you're actually melting it all down and sterilizing it kind of thing and then repackaging it?
That's correct. We take it through a very exhaustive recycling process. The first step, once the soap comes into one of our three facilities, and we actually have a facility not only in downtown Orlando, but we have one right off the Las Vegas Strip and one in Toronto. When the soap comes in, the first thing we do is a thorough surface cleaning, and that is traditionally done by volunteers and by Clean the World operational staff, where we literally will take potato peelers and peel and scrape the outside of those bars of soap to make sure that the surface is cleaned. After the surface has been cleaned, we then dip the bars into a sterilization solution that kills any pathogens that would find its way on the bar of soap. And we've partnered with a Tri-Tech Laboratories here in Central Florida to test our sterilization processes to ensure that we are killing all pathogens on the soap. Once that happens, we then take those sterilized and surface clean bars, we grind them up into a soap grind, and then we enter that soap grind into a soap press where we literally remanufacture it into a brand new bar. The resulting being a great bar of soap comprised of all types of hotel soaps across North America. That then gets packed into boxes and distributed, and that soap is so fantastic that it's actually what I've used exclusively over the last 3.5 years since we started the organization, as it's a really great bar of soap.
What happens to, this is a kind of a funny question, what happens to, since a number of soaps have fragrances on them, does that kind of disappear in the process so that you're not having a mix of odors of the soap?
No, in fact, those fragrances actually stay with those bars, and when you take the resulting Clean the World bar of soap, it actually smells fantastic. We add some glycerin in the process, so it has a marble look to it. It has a fantastic smell. You know, we have a number of 5-star resorts that partner with us, like Peninsulas and Mandarins and a number of really upscale resorts. And so we get a lot of that soap, you know, mixed in with a lot of the traditional, you know, the Holiday Inns and the Sheratons. And with the resulting bar, it really is a spectacular smelling bar. As a matter of fact, I was at a conference about a year ago and presenting the Clean the World program to a bunch of hoteliers and asking them, obviously, to adopt our program. And we had a bunch of our Clean the World soap there for display. And I can't tell you how many people actually came up and requested to buy the soap to put into their hotels. Of course, we told them, no, this is only for donation to those in need. But it was quite interesting to see the reaction from hoteliers.
Can we have some of this? It's good
stuff. That's right.
So was it difficult convincing hoteliers at the beginning that you wanted to take all of their stuff instead of throwing it out to recycle? It was pretty easy sell.
It was in the very early days. Now, we've changed our model a little bit, so I'll talk about that. But obviously, hotels see the soap and the bottled amenities is one of the largest items of waste that they have. So when we started the organization and really didn't have a sort of a business model, we thought that we would go into a bunch of hotels, put our bins in, we would collect all of this soap, recycle it, start to distribute it, and we would see some you know, grandiose organizations, some large foundations would swoop in and give us tons of support and grant dollars in order to continue on with our efforts. That was, of course, in 2009, which is one of the worst years for donations and endowments ever. And so after a real big slap in the face from a couple of foundations who said no to us in a very short period of time, we had to change our model a little bit. And what that model indicates today is that a hotel will participate with us, donate their product, we'll supply them all of the bins, all of the shipping, all of the training materials, the vanity cards for the hotel rooms, etc. But we ask them to participate with a monthly program fee. That monthly program fee is equivalent to about 80 cents per room per month. So a 100-room hotel would pay about $80 a month to participate with Clean the World. Of course, we're a 501c3, so that's all tax deductible. But nonetheless, it asked the hotel to come to the table with a financial contribution. So therein lies really the only objection point that we would have, or the only reason why we wouldn't have more hotels on board, is because we do need, in order to build the financial sustainability with this organization, we do need the hotels to participate. Now, of course, there's a lot of advantages to the hotels for doing so. Really, that's the only objection. Currently, we're at 1,600 hotels across North America. We recycle 330,000 rooms. We're gaining and adding about 20 new hotels every single month. So we are growing, but certainly we'd love to find ways to be able to grow even faster and get more hotels on board.
Are the hotels able to write the soap and lotions and all that they're giving to you guys as a tax deduction for a charitable contribution?
Yeah, you know, that's a really interesting question. And so the answer to that is perhaps. It's really up to the hotel to want to take that deduction and then potentially have to deal with that from an audit standpoint. So what the IRS says is if you donate a gift in kind, which is essentially what this is, you can write off the fair market value. And so the question then becomes, what's the fair market value of partially used soap and bottled amenities? We've seen a number of our hotels take that deduction and not have a problem with it. We've also seen a lot of our large corporate partners, and we have, you know, corporate agreements with organizations like Walt Disney World, Caesars Entertainment, Intercontinental Hotel Group, Starwood Worldwide. Some of those larger organizations, as well as the large management companies, probably are not taking that deduction just because there's such a volume there on the deduction that they don't want to perhaps hold up to the scrutiny of an audit. Now, as we continue to make progress, we have sent nearly 12 million bars of soap to children and families in 55 countries around the globe. As we continue to do that with partially used soap, we are giving an inherent value to it, and we are making it, we believe, easier and easier for hotels to take that deduction, because clearly now we have an outlet for partially used soap that is, you know, in the form of a life-saving item for somebody. And so therefore we hope here very soon that we can really make that sort of a standard and that deduction a standard as well.
So you're also sending shampoos and conditioners and body lotions around as well?
Correct. And most of that product will actually stay domestically. About 30% of our soap and of all of our products, 30% of our soap and most of our bottled amenities have actually stayed domestically within the United States. What we do with those bottles when they come in is the first thing we do is a sort, and we try and determine how much product is left in the bottle. If it's 75% or less, all of those bottles get recycled. And so we are the only organization that we know of in North America that is actually recycling the small bottles that come out of hotels. Most municipal recyclers do not deal with those bottles because, number one, they're too small, and number two, they typically are dirty. They have product in them. If they're 75% or more in terms of the product, we then take those bottles, we sterilize and clean the outside of them, and then we make them available for hygiene kits. And our volunteers, as well as corporations and organizations who want to get involved with Clean the World, they can order the product to build hygiene kits. So we'll send them, in addition to soap, the shampoo, conditioner, lotion, bath gel, body wash, etc. And then they'll actually build those into small little kits and then hand them to local homeless shelters, food kitchens, food pantries, women's shelters, etc., to be distributed locally to those in need.
Great. So before we continue, I'd like to remind you listening to Healthy Alternatives, Dr. Jerry Teplitz on webtalkradio.net. We'll be back with my guest, Sean Seipler, in just a moment.
I want to talk to you about a book I've done with Donna Fisher called Switched On Networking, Balance Your Brain for Networking Success. This is a world of relationships, whether they're on social networks or they're physically face-to-face. Donna Fisher's an expert on networking, both social networking and also one-to-one networking. In every chapter, she does the techniques you need to be aware about. What I do is the brain gym rewiring to switch your brain on for everything that Donna says. This is the first book you can get on networking that switches you on by the end of a chapter for everything that Donna has said, so you can do it, and you can do it right away. You can locate the book and purchase it at switchedonnetworking.com. That's switchedonnetworking.com. You'll also see a whole range of special gifts from friends of ours who are speaker trainers that you can get just by purchasing the book.
So my guest today is Sean Seipler. He runs an organization called Clean the World. It's based out of Orlando, Florida. It recycles hotel soaps, bottled amenities that you find in your hotels for people who have a real need. And in just 3 years, they've enlisted more than 1,200 hotel partners to really help getting these products out back to people who can really need them. So, Sean, let's talk a little bit about the research on soap saving lives. You mentioned that at the beginning of the study. Can you elaborate on that a little more?
Absolutely. When we were looking for what we would do with recycled soap in the very early days, our co-founder, my business partner, Paul Till, found a study that was conducted in Bangladesh around a disease called diarrheal disease, and that really sparked his interest because he had no idea what diarrheal disease was at the time. And it was the second leading cause of death, and still is the second leading cause of death amongst children under the age of 5. It is essentially cholera, dysentery. It is a spreading disease, and a certain type of disease based on not washing one's hands and having it spread through water supplies and other other channels of spreading in impoverished areas, areas that don't have the same type of hygiene that we have. And so in this study, The doctors brought soap into this village, and by simply giving soap out and teaching the villagers how and when to use the soap, there was an incredible reduction in that disease and diarrheal disease that is actually reduced by, in this particular study, 40%. And so that really led us to go, there's an opportunity here with this soap. So we started to look further and found study after study after study, and they're actually all on our website at cleantheworld.org. As a matter of fact, there was just another great article in the Harvard Business Review that talks specifically about corporations and individuals getting soap into the hands of the developing, and that this will help them. And so every one of those studies show that with respect to pneumonia and diarrheal disease, if you just give folks soap and education on how and when to use the soap, the reduction of those two diseases, which are the number one and number two killers of children under the age of 5, the reduction of those diseases is anywhere from 40 to 60%. Amazing results. And I'll tell you one other thing. There was a great study that was done last year by a University of New Mexico professors, and they were looking at, in economically challenged areas, they were looking at why children there tend to be have an educational level below and testing levels below children in the developed areas. And there's a lot of theories around why that is the case. And what these studies looked at, these professors looked at, is was there a correlation to hygiene? And what their results were, they said children under the age of 5 who are coming up in impoverished areas who do not have the same type of hygiene related or equal to what we have in the developing world, literally because these children are not receiving baths, they are using their body's growth energy to fight disease and pathogens. And they're doing that so much that it's literally stunting their mental growth. So instead of taking that growth energy and developing their brains, they're instead fighting off infectious diseases. So again, literally, because we give our children baths here in America or in the developing world, they have a better propensity to learn, to take in information, and to develop than children in developing areas. And just a really amazing study to prove that if you just give folks soap and you give them proper hygiene, you can literally save their lives. You can literally improve their culture.
That's terrific to hear that. Now, with what you're doing with getting the soaps out, how come, because I travel lots, you know, I'm in hotels, not quite as much as you are, but how come I've never seen a hotel advertising, you know, we recycle your soaps through Clean the World? Because I think that would be a real plus, making the people who are in the room feel good about the products that they're using in there.
Yeah, I agree with that statement completely, and that is something that we are continuing to work on with our hotel partners. Again, we have 1,600 hotel partners. Every one of them, when they come on board, they receive a lobby plaque that's actually made on recycled wood, sits out in the lobby, very nice-looking plaque to tell folks who are checking in that they're a Clean the World partner. We also supply tent cards that sit inside the hotel rooms that will tell the hotel guest in the room that this hotel is participating with Clean the World. We find sometimes, though, that a lot of our hotel partners are looking for reduction in a lot of different ways, and some of that is just in the form of paper. They don't want to have too much paper cluttering the room, and so they're looking to take a lot more of those things digitally, you know, put them in the in-room TV stations, et cetera. So we are trying to meet that demand as well. We offer a lot of digital assets. We offer in-room TV a video on Clean the World and helping them tell the story to their guest. So as the industry sort of evolves and the way they message to hotel guests and doing it in a sustainable manner, we have to do that as well. But one of the things that we do is on our website, cleantheworld.org, you can actually go on and see every one of those 1,600 partners that are participating with us. And we ask the listeners, when you're making a booking decision in a particular city, you know, our hotel partners are in all 50 U.S. states, 10 Canadian provinces, Puerto Rico, and U.S. Virgin Islands. We're in every major city. We've got 60 hotels in New York. We've got 200 hotels in California, you know, L.A., San Diego, San Francisco. We ask you to look on our website, see who's participating, and if you can, try and book at one of those hotels and even let them know that you're doing it because of their implementation of the Clean the World program, which will continue to keep us in that hotel and strong in that hotel. And obviously, we'll let those hotels know that they're doing a really good thing.
Have you gotten feedback from folks who have actually done that?
Without a doubt. We receive emails all the time around that. We actually have a one of our, I guess, celebrity supporters, Stan Van Gundy, who was a coach of the Orlando Magic, recently when he visited his brother, Jeff Van Gundy, who's an ABC analyst in Houston. He would only stay at a hotel that was using Clean the World and actually switched and stayed at a different hotel because they were using Clean the World, let the general manager know about it, and has said when he travels, he will do that. And, of course, we have probably hundreds of people that have specifically told us that they do that whenever they travel. And that's just something we need to continue to build upon, need to continue to ask the general public to stay at those hotels, to take their money to those hotels because they're making a good decision when they've got Clean the World implemented.
By the way, a quickie thought for you that just popped in while we were talking is, you know, most of the hotels have those little cards that say, you know, your towel up you can, and if you and we'll, you know, we won't wash it and stuff. Thought would be just stick at the bottom of it, you know, we also recycle your all your amenities in the room, so you don't even have to use another piece of paper.
Yeah, no, absolutely, one piece of paper. And we've seen, for instance, we're partnered with Caesars Entertainment on the Vegas Strip, and that management company has a number of properties, Caesars Palace, Paris, Bally's, Tropicana. When you go out to their hotels, they actually have a little tent card on the mirror in the hotel room, and it actually states that they are supporting Caesars Foundation, supports Clean the World and the efforts. So there have been some great partners like that that have been able to work it into their initiatives and message it to their guests, but certainly we're always looking for more folks to be able to do that.
Great. Now, you just were abroad distributing soap and hygiene products. So can you tell us what that experience was like for you?
Yeah, an amazing experience. 2 weeks ago, I was in Comayagua, Honduras at the Sotocano Air Force Base and went on a very intense two-day distribution mission alongside the U.S. Army. We went to about 17 schools and orphanages in those 2 days, saw about 2,000 children, handed out, distributed about 5,000 bars of soap, some hygiene kits, and some shampoo, and had an amazing experience. Honduras is the poorest country in Latin America, got a population of 8 million, and when we were giving out the soap to the children, it was like Christmas. They were so happy. They were so appreciative. The first thing they do when they get the bar is they smell it. And, of course, as we've talked about, it's got an amazing smell. So they were so happy about that. And we also, as we went around, we taught them how to wash their hands in two ways. One is we did a skit. We had a super jabón, which is a super soap, and super soap would come in and kill the germs that we had dispatched amongst the children, which were individuals who would, you know, go after the children, and they would all laugh and scream, and super jabón would come in and kill the germs. And then we also made up a wash your hands song to La Bamba. And so we taught the kids the song to La Bamba and had them recite it and sing it. And so, again, an amazing trip. It truly seeing the impact of what soap can do. And you're in areas where you realize how important soap is. I mean, the areas are, you know, unfortunately, they're dirty. You can just see the sort of the sickness and the illness sometimes around. You can see very easily how it's spread. And so the work of handing the soap out and teaching the children how and when to use the soap is incredible. It's a necessity, and it's just incredibly impactful on our end to be able to see it come to fruition. And doing it alongside the U.S. Army was awesome. They are truly caring for the people in their community. They're out there. They're building goodwill. They were also delivering backpacks at one school. They delivered shoes at another school. They had a pair of shoes for every single child there, actually named for every child at that school. They did incredible work. They organized the entire trip, and it was really fantastic going alongside the U.S. Army as well and distributing to people in need around the Soto Cano Air Force Base.
Now, with Honduras as the example, the soap will be used up. How do you resupply, and how do you figure out resupply in an area?
Well, that's a great question. And so, for instance, with this particular mission in Comayagua, this is about the fourth time that we have sent down supplies to the U.S. Military there, and about the second time that we've actually gone down and done the distribution with them. But we continue a regular supply of soap for them that literally is enough soap to supply those 17 schools that are around the base in the area there. So they get a regular supply. A lot of our partners that we work with, such as World Vision, Children's International, Stop Hunger Now, these organizations who are picking up soap from us on a regular basis, and they are putting it into their distribution channels and getting it out to their areas that they are working on a regular basis as well. So, for instance, over the last year, we've supplied probably 20 truckloads of soap to World Vision. And again, those soaps are going into their distribution channels and going to specific areas that they're targeting. So when you talk about a place like Zimbabwe, Uganda, Swaziland, Lesotho, they're getting soap on a regular basis through our NGO partners to ensure that it's just not one time, but it's on a consistent basis to really help impact that eradication of the number one and number two killers of children.
So for listeners who would like to stay connected with Clean the World, first of all, you go on their website, cleantheworld.org, and as Sean was saying, you could look at what hotels you're staying at and compliment them, and if you're staying at ones that don't, tell them they order. You can also go on their Facebook page. It's facebook.com/cleantheworld. Sean, thanks for being a guest today on Healthy Alternatives.
Thank you so much, Jerry. Truly appreciate it.
My guest next week is going to be Rona Renner. She's a registered nurse. She's been one for 46 years. She's also been a parent educator for over 23 years. She was trained as a temperament specialist in 1991 at Kaiser Permanente in Richmond, California. Nurse Rona is the host of a weekly talk show, Childhood Matters. For 10 years, she was that host and a spokesperson for parents and children. She's appeared on TV shows such as CNN, 2020, NBC, and ABC7's View from the Bay. We're going to be talking to Rona about this notion of how parents can yell less and have a happier home. You're not going to want to miss this one. This is Dr. Jerry Teplitz. You can find out more about me at teplitz.com, or you can follow me on Facebook and Twitter. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for being with us today for Healthy Alternatives. For more information about Dr. Teplitz and his availability for speaking engagements, please click on the globe on the webtalkradio.net page in front of you, or go to teplitz.com. You may also follow him on Facebook and Twitter by using the icons on the page. To find out more about his books, please click on any of the book covers you see. Eat well, rest well, take a breath, get some exercise, and we'll see you again right here next week for another edition of Healthy Alternatives.